thanks for joining us for the Changing the Industry podcast, where we try to effectuate change for the better, one conversation at a time. Part of that change is providing help for those that need it. This is why we've partnered with the Institute for Automotive Business Excellence. Whether it's help with sales, operations, or just getting your numbers in order, these folks are some of the very best in the industry. And for our listeners, they'll sit down with you and go over your strengths, your weaknesses, and the opportunities that are in front of you. They'll create a customized plan for how to move forward, absolutely free. That's right, free. And if your plan includes one-on-one coaching, they can also help you with that. There's no hard sales pitch, no obligation, just honest help from honest people. So if that's something that you think could benefit you, make sure you click on the link in the show notes. And now, on to the show.
Then grabbed my camera and that shut off the Riverside. Yeah. And I was just trying to be recorded. Yeah. So it should, yours and Cecil stuff should still be recorded. I think just my portion got like, I don't know what happened. I'll go in there
in the file.
In a month, I'll go in there and figure out what the hell happened and then I'll splice something together.
There you go. Frank.
Lucas.
Good morning, sir. Introduce yourself. I think most everybody knows you, but introduce yourself.
I am Frank Scandura. I own Frank's European Service in Las Vegas, Nevada. It's a European specialty shop, 12,000 square feet, 14 bays, somewhere around 18 or 19 team members. I'm also a coach for Transformers Institute. I'm also a member of the Transformers Institute Masterminds. And also have an online mastermind that I do twice a month for shop owners that don't like or cannot travel to a live mastermind meeting. Finally, I am the Vice President of Certified Shops Relations for Autotech IQ, which is a really exciting up-and-coming new entity. It's going to be really cool.
Very cool. Very cool. You and I had a good talk the other day, and one of the things that you brought up and one of the things that we talked about for a good while was a book called Rocket Fuel. And you talked about how it had impacted your business and how it had changed your perspective a little bit. And I think that's something that many owners go through and something that we all kind of experience at some point is that we have this grand visionary capability and we're able to look at the shop and see these things that we want to do. Very few of us have the tools or the skill set to convert that into actual progress, if you will. We can get to a certain point and then we kind of plateau. Tell us a little bit about that journey.
Yeah, and so the premise behind Rocket Fuel is most of us who start a business are visionaries. We've got some sort of vision of what we want to do and what it looks like. And you nailed it correctly where, you know, it's like we walk in the room, tell everybody the next new exciting thing we're going to do, and then we walk out, we come back a week later and said, how come nobody did anything? Well, we didn't give them the process. We didn't give them the instructions. We didn't give them the measurables. So in Rocket Fuel, it talks about having an integrator. That integrator is that exact person who can do that. And when you get a good visionary and a good integrator together, it's like adding rocket fuel to your business. And it's like, and that's exactly what happened to Frank's 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
So tell us a little bit about the process. Tell us how that happened. And at what point did you decide like, hey, I need this integrator component in the business?
Well, it's kind of like when you start wearing glasses and somebody says, when did you start wearing glasses? And the answer is when I admitted I needed them.
Yeah.
So it's no different than our businesses. It's when I admit what I need is when I can start making changes. When I stop thinking I'm large and in charge, I'm the big cojone, it don't happen until I say it happens, and which is, you know, it's kind of like a dumb way of running a business, right? So yeah. When you realize the people around us are valuable, and if I hold them accountable, then they are more comfortable doing the job I've hired them to do. So I realized that I was just struggling getting these things in place. And after reading Rocket Fuel and taking the assessment, I realized, okay, I'm one of the crazy visionaries. I'm way up here somewhere. And at that time, I tested my entire team. And I kind of presented it in a way, hey, man, I'm just curious how you guys all make out on this test. I wasn't real specific on what I was looking for. And nobody really tested real high. Then, Travis Byrd came on board, and I tested him, and he tested real high for that integrator role. And it really, really made a difference. And he read the book. It was kind of like, yeah, I get you. And then I put him into some key leader training with Dan Taylor over Transformers, and Dan went over the book again and says, no, you guys need to really, you know, get this with his the guys that he's training up. Travis came back from one meeting and goes, now I get you. Now I understand what you're about. Now I understand what you're trying to accomplish. And then he was able to take the ball and run with it at that point.
And so it looks like in many, many ways it's freed up your capabilities within your shop to be able to start branching out and doing some other things. And that's really where this Auto Tech IQ concept came from, is you were now, you had some free time. The shop was doing what the shop was supposed to do, and you were still the visionary, but you were able to kind of step back from it and let it do what it does. Did the employees of the shop sigh a sigh of relief when you left?
It's funny you say that, because most shop owners come in and when there's nothing to do, they start fires.
Yeah.
Right. They look for problems to solve. And it's a complete and utter waste of resources, a complete and utter waste of time, right? I can walk in and say, hey, why is this? Why is that? Why is this? How come you didn't pick that up? How come you didn't put that down? And it does no good, right? Everybody kind of knows what their job is if you have, you know, job descriptions, and everybody kind of knows what's expected if you have measurables, right? You can't manage what you don't measure. I do think the team enjoys that when Frank comes in, it's kind of like just, hi, how are you doing? Is everything okay? The kids okay? The wife okay? You know, and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, you're right about that. It does help the team perform at a higher level.
Gotcha. So tell us a little bit about Auto Tech IQ, because you shared some information with me about it. You shared some maps that I thought were really cool and some concepts about what this is. And, you know, it's very different than what's on the market in some ways, and it's very similar to what's on the market in some ways. And I'm very interested to watch this and see if it's going to take off and see if it's going to move, because we've seen some other things like this. And please don't take it as I'm saying something negative about what you're offering. That's not it at all. It's just that we've seen other things in this space that seem to kind of fizzle out. What is it that it is, and what is it that it's going to do?
So for those who don't know, Uwe Kleinschmidt was the founder of Auto Vitals, and VC came in, and there was a buyout, and he was able to retire. He thought he'd be able to retire in the mountains of Santa Barbara and, you know, fix up a house that he bought, and got bored very quickly. So the very first phase of Auto Tech IQ is basically, it's a business directory, but here's where it's different. We're taking actual customer queries, actual customer searches. Why is my ABS light on? And we're creating a blog article based on actual repair shop data. Your problem is this. This is some of the causes. This is what a shop has done to fix your problem. We highly recommend you get a digital inspection to establish your vehicle health. Here's a list of shops that believe in transparency through digital inspections. They're highly rated in their communities with good Google reviews. They have to have at least 100 reviews, 4.5 stars or more, to be certified. So now we're connecting people with high-quality shops, right? We will not, certified shops that do not believe in transparency through digital health, digital vehicle inspections, we will not certify shops that are less than 4.5 stars. And we will not, obviously, certify shops without even a website. And my research and work with Auto Tech IQ is really mind-boggling how many shops don't have a web presence today.
Yeah.
So, phase one, right? And listen, did you notice I never said, if you bring your car to this shop, your brakes should cost $92.12. And because that's an outrageous way.
Lucas and I have been telling you about Parts Tech for a while now, and how it gives you access to unlimited parts and tire vendors and direct integration with over 35 shop management systems. And now they've just launched a new referral program. All you have to do is open your Parts Tech account, go to My Shop, and click on the Rewards tab. There you'll find your referral URL, which you can share via email, text message, or on your social media. If your referral signs up for a new account and places 5 orders in the first 30 days, Parts Tech will send you a $100 gift card. That's it. Nothing else is needed. Your referrals can get you $100 just for using Parts Tech, which, by the way, is absolutely free to get started with. So if you're using Parts Tech already, start sharing that referral link. And if you haven't signed up for Parts Tech yet, what are you waiting for? Click on the link in the description or go to partstech.com/podcast. That's partstech.com/podcast.
Hey, one more thing. If you find out that your shop management system doesn't integrate with Parts Tech, it's time to upgrade. David and I use what we believe to be the very best system on the market, Shopware. With unmatched features like Parts GP Optimizer and DVX, which is their digital vehicle experience, Shopware really is way more than just a shop management software. With it, you'll be able to create an immersive and interactive experience for your client, setting you apart from everyone else using run-of-the-mill software. Are you ready to upgrade? Click the link in the show notes to get started.
Of communicating a customer to a shop, because that just sets up for disappointment. You think you need something with your brakes. Here's some possible causes. If you let the shop do the proper inspection on your car, you will know exactly what you need and why. That's the key. Yeah. Why?
Yeah. Well, you know, how important do you think that web presence is today? You know, obviously, I've got a website. Mine's being redone by Shop Marketing Pros right now. But how important is that compared to what it was 10 years ago, right? 10 years ago, that presence was extremely important. Is it as important today as it was 10 years ago, though?
It is, but it's changing, right? So 10 years ago, and even today, our websites are, look at me, look at me, look at me, look how great I am, look at what I do, look at what I'm going to do. Where Autotech IQ is about the customer, right? Because we all know we have customers with that invisible tattoo across their forehead. You know what it says, right? What's in it for me?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. I'm a consumer. When I go to a restaurant, I want to know what's in it for me. I'm expecting good service. I'm expecting a well-prepared meal. I'm expecting it promptly brought. I'm expecting my water to always be full. Is that unreasonable? I don't think so. So at Autotech IQ, now what we're doing is... helping shops do better digital inspections through training. This is what you need to tell the motorist. Don't send them a fuzzy picture of something and then call them up and try to explain to them why they need to buy that. You would never do that on Amazon. You wouldn't look at a fuzzy picture and go, huh, and then get a phone call from Amazon to get convinced why you need to purchase that.
That was a really interesting concept when you brought that up, because, you know, we do see a lot of inspection photos that may not make sense, or the consumer wouldn't be able to look at that and understand it. The service advisor doesn't know what it is either. And so what do? They send the DVI and say, here you go.
Yeah, you know, and this happened in my shop, right? True data, right? Again, I will beat this to death. You can't manage what you don't measure. So I have two service advisors. One has lower car count, higher sales than the other. And, you know, if you work for Frank, Frank says you will send every inspection to the customer. Am I clear? And they go,
for sure.
Yes, sir. You know, and they send it. So in this exact example, Service Advisor 1 sent the inspection, told the customer to look it over, and then answered any questions the customer had. Service Advisor 2 sent the inspection and then went blah, 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 $900, blah, blah, blah. And he had a lower approval rate as a result. So through that exercise, now we start looking at other data, and we realize the longer the motorist looks at the inspection, the more likely they are to make an informed decision and say yes. Yeah. And that's why it's critical. Don't send a picture unless it's marked up with text on it. And we're working on showing advisors and managers and shop owners how to do that if your program doesn't allow for it, right? Because at Autotech IQ, we believe it's not the product, it's the process. Yeah. So I have a drop-off script. Anybody's welcome to. They can send me an email, franks@autotechiq, and I'll share the drop-off script with them, kind of a bonus, to share how important it is to have a process. If I don't set the expectations with the customers at drop-off on my terms, I have to live up to them on their terms.
Yeah.
Right, and I think we said this before. It's like, it's 9:06. I had a 9 o'clock appointment. Can you explain why my car's not in the shop?
Yeah.
Doesn't work that way.
Exactly. Well, you know, when it comes to the DVI process, right? Like when we're really digging into the DVIs and we're looking at them, I think shop owners get in a set it and forget it mindset, right? We start a DVI and we set it up and we get our items that we want checked on the DVI. We talk about where do we want pictures, when do we not want pictures, what's the difference between a leak and a seep, and we get it set up in the shop. And then what do? We turn our back on it.
And right? that's why you have to measure it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so one of the things that I always talk to owners about is I just talked to a shop owner the other day. He said, yeah, we're doing the inspections. We're absolutely doing them. And I said, one of the ways you measure that is opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're really doing the 300% rule, then that's how you figure your opportunity. And I said, well, what's your opportunity? And he said, oh, it's a $400 per car. I'm like, man, I don't know that you're doing an inspection. I really don't.
No.
You know?
Or they're doing it. And you're having a service advisor that's going, ooh, that's a lot. I can't tell him about that. He'll get mad and he won't like me and invite me over for dinner. You know, it's like, nope.
Yeah.
We all have a moral obligation to tell the customers what their cars need and why, and help them navigate the process of, should you even fix this car? And in what order?
You know, we just, our last guest, we were talking about it with them. And this came up, is that there are coaches out there right now teaching that you should not estimate anything that's not red, that you should not put that thing out there. You might tell them about it, but you don't write an estimate for it because, A, it slows your advisor down and overwhelms your client. You know, is there a line in this where we say we're giving the client what they want versus what they need? And so some coaches are leaning more towards this, I want to make you feel good about your car. I want to give you exactly what you asked for, and this is what you want, and convenience is the number one thing. Whereas others are still saying, hey, it's important that we provide you as your advocate with all the information and help you make informed decisions. I know how I fall in that. How do you fall in that?
Here's how I fall in that. So your car comes in and it's got a slight oil leak at the rear main seal, and I don't estimate it, and I say, well, keep an eye on it. Here's other items you should probably consider doing now. Mm-hmm. 6 months or 7 months later, car comes in, the rear main seal is leaking a little worse, and now I tell you it's, I don't know how much it is, $3,500, right? I don't know. I just opened a door to a massive disappointment by not preparing you for that for the future.
Yeah.
Because now I took away your ability to make, like you just said, an informed decision. It's like, you know what? I don't want to spend that kind of money on this car. Maybe I should start thinking about getting another car. Or thank you for letting me know. This is the high integrity part. Well, thank you for letting me know so I can prepare for it, right? So that's why I think it's important to be crystal clear. I'm going to prioritize what you need and help you make an informed decision. And I think it's wrong to not tell the customer everything they needed to help them prepare. So here's another scenario. Car comes in with a no start. And you don't inspect the car first. And you bring it in and it needs a starter. And it's one of those really nice cars that you got to pull intake manifolds off and all kinds of stuff. Couple grand to put a starter on it. And thanks, my car's running. It is. But now, let me tell you about the inspection. You need the front brake pads and rotors, rear brake pads and rotors, controller and bushings, muffler bearings, and drive shaft rotation, whatever, right? Well, why didn't you tell me that before?
Yeah.
You know, maybe I would have pushed a car over to CarMax or something. So it's really, really important to always tell the customer what's going on. I want my customers to love me for informing them of what they need.
Yeah.
But I don't need them to be my friend. I want them to be my friend and like me because I protected them from bad news. I think that's bad. I don't want to say bad business, but I just don't like it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I agree with you. And you know, I think that's something that's going around really heavy right now is that, well, meeting the consumers where they want to be and serving them and being the most convenient can be dangerous in some ways, right? Because, you know, and it comes back to the doctor argument. Is the doctor there to make you feel good about the situation? No. It sucks to get bad news from a doctor, but that is why they're there. They're there to give you the best information they can and lead you and guide you through a process that may suck, but that's their job.
Right? Yeah. It's like, I'm going to treat your, I'm going to treat your toothache, but I'm not going to tell you about the tumor in the back of your throat.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not right.
You know, talking about DVI a little bit, Frank, because this all ties back to the DVI concept. You looked at one of my DVIs the other day, and we pinpointed some things that I tend to overlook with them, right? Things that I say, it's not that big of a deal. We're writing a lot of estimates. We're going through a lot of DVIs. It's just one of those things. And you look at them and you bring up some points about those DVIs. And so I thought that was a really neat aspect of what Auto Tech IQ does is let's sit down and look at some of your DVIs.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what they should be and what should the benchmark look like. And that comes back to where we were talking about owners who put a DVI process in place and they put it on autopilot and they set it, they forget it, and they walk away. And now all of a sudden, we never go back to check. We never trust but verify. Nobody's ever going back with that tech to go over a DVI and make sure we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And you can have a great team. You can trust them. And that's one thing. In some cases, you don't have that. So talk to me a little bit about what it is that that process that AutoTech IQ does is. When you go through that inspection or that DVI, what are you looking for?
And it's I'm looking for to help the shop owners see the inspection through the eyes of the motorist. If you sent this to your mother, what would she say? She'd say, man, I could see where that drip is an oil leak and it's crystal clear. I need to do X, Y, and Z. Thank you so much for telling me. Can you get that done? Or you sent me a picture of something. I don't know what it is. So that's why we ask for a sample inspection as part of the certification process. And just like I did with you, and it's really amazing how many shops go, oh, I didn't realize, and I don't do it to poke my finger in your eye, so to speak, but I do it to bring attention to, I set the DVI program up, I trusted my team to do a good job, now I have to measure and manage expectations, and the work I've been doing with AutoTech IQ has caused me to go, okay, I need to spot check inspections. And I'm like, no, because we have a lot of automation. We use Autovitals, and we can automate a lot of text on pictures and a lot of things. And so here's an example where we needed to make a correction. We take fan belt pictures of every single car that comes in, except electric cars, right? They don't have fan belts. So now we had to redo our DVI. So we had a Tesla that came in and took a picture of the frunk, I guess you call it, where normally a fan belt would be. And the picture said, your fan belt appears to be good at this time. Sorry, that's not the way it works. We should not be doing that. So we had to reevaluate our process and look at it. And we never would have caught that had I not been spot checking inspections. Did we lose him?
The wind took out his internet.
Oh, no. Okay. So
keep
that's
going with
why,
your fan belt.
Yeah. And that's why it's so important to spot check inspections. And that's why it's so important to be aware of what you're doing and why you're doing it. Another thing that we do is we encourage and we ask for this during our training, right? We're doing a training five class training for advisors and managers and shop owners on how to improve your process of drop-off, how to prepare the motorist for expectations. Ben Nielsen was brilliant. He had somebody in his shop create a little flyer, and it had a picture of the text message. This is what it's going to look like on your phone. And when you click on it, it had a picture of the phone, person holding their phone, and this is what it's going to look like. So the customer had crystal clear expectations what that was going to look like and when it was sent to them, right? Super important. Now we're asking shops, measure your inspection sent rate, measure your open rate, and if your system allows for it, measure your view time. Some systems don't allow for that. A lot of shop owners have changed over.
Hey, everyone, it's Lucas. I'm sorry to jump in, but I thought it was important to come and say this. You know, I'm often asked, why do we always talk about Kim and Brian Walker and shop marketing pros on the show? It's because we genuinely believe in their product. Why do I use them for my own marketing? In fact, they're building me a new website right now. It's not cookie cutter. I kept getting on Facebook and every shop looked the exact same. I didn't want to be that. And it's not just that. It's that they're part of your team. When you hire them to do your marketing, they get to know you. They know what you believe. They know what you say, and they know why you do what you do. And they share that with your clients. That's huge. And beyond all of that, probably the most important factor in all of this is they stand behind their work. So don't wait. Go today and get your free marketing analysis from Shop Marketing Pros. They're genuinely our friends, and they're genuinely here to help shop owners have a better life. Click on the link in the show notes for your free marketing analysis today. That's right. It's free. Doesn't cost you a dime.
From a separate inspection program to one that's built into their point of sale. And I've yet to see one built into a point of sale that's really exceptional. It's almost as if, oh my gosh, we're getting so much pressure, we're just going to build something in there and then make it work. So that we're encouraging shop owners to measure. Did they send the inspection? Can you prove it? Did the customer open it? Can you prove it? Did the customer look at it? Can you prove it? And if you don't have those measurables, then you won't be successful. And you guys got to believe it. We've got the data that proves when it's sent, opened, and viewed, approval rates go up.
Do you have the metrics as to by how much?
We're seeing 30-40% without even trying. And I know a lot of companies are broadcasting, improve your ARO by 20% just by doing a digital inspection. And that's not enough. You have to do it well.
Well, yeah. So the DVI has to be sent. The DVI has to be opened. It has to be viewed. That all makes sense. But I guess my question is, you're advising the shop owner sit down and check to make sure it got sent out. Okay, I think that's a bare minimum. And I think Craig O'Neill, Lucas, shared that the send rate with AutoTextMe or AutoFlow is not 100% or in the 90s even. It's really low. It's like 70 or 80%
yeah.
of DVIs are get sent. So you're talking 20, 25, 30% of DVIs get completed but never sent, which is insane to me. I don't know why you even do the DVI if you're not going to send it to you. And then you're checking to see if they... Well, right. You check to see if they even opened it. But then you're telling them, hey, you got to check to see how much time they're spending on the actual DVI. I guess I'm looking for... Okay, so this is going to be big chunk. But now I'm in the minutia. And if the minutia is going to get me another 30%, okay, maybe. If I'm at 600 and that's going to move me to 690, that might be worth it, right? If at the end of the year that ends up adding X amount of dollars because I have this many ROs at the end of the year. But if I'm in the minutia, but it's going to get me 5 or 10% from 600 to 600 and whatever, it may not be worth it. How much time am I going to spend on it? Is it going to be worth the squeeze? I guess that's what I'm asking.
Great question, because motorists don't buy what they don't understand. Okay.
Sure.
Guess what the top four decline jobs are on all the data we have from all the shops in our system?
I would say it's some regular maintenance, like brake fluid flushes, tire rotation, steering alignment checks.
Shocks and struts, cabin air filters, engine air filters, alignments. Now,
makes sense.
Well, it doesn't, right? Cabin air filters, how can that have the highest decline rate? What are we doing wrong? And am I allowed to share screen?
We can. It'll just, it gets a little clunky.
Well, I don't want it to get clunky. So when I was told that my shop's highest decline rates was shocks and struts, air filters, cabin filters, I was like, nay, no way. And I ran my own report and I said, So now at Autotech IQ, we have the jobs IQ board. and I'm looking at mine right now. Every 26th repair order, we recommend shocks and struts. Now that makes perfect sense to me because I'm a European specialist and a lot of our cars have air shocks or hydraulic shocks and they don't just wear out where you say you need to replace them, right? It's like, you got the Mercedes sitting on its elbow in a parking lot, blew an air shock. So then I said, okay, 57% decline rate. Now I can break it down by advisor. And I pick one of my advisors and it's 100% decline rate except for one period. And I'm thinking to myself, here is an advisor that needs to understand the benefits of shocks and struts and how to recommend them to their customers, so they could see the benefits of shocks and struts and why it's important to do it. Because there's a lot of safety and comfort and tire wear and stopping distances. There's a lot that goes into shocks and struts, and I don't have that information out of thin air. So now just to be able to have that is a game changer for me. And that all comes tied in with the digital inspections. And then I can look at air filters and cabin filters and say, okay, how do we not sell a dirty cabin filter? What are we not doing right? Okay, do we need to do something as simple as take a picture of your dirty one and a clean one? Because when you do, then you realize, well, dirty is, what's dirty to you and dirty to me? That just looks like it's a little dusty. That should be okay for a while. Well, no, you look at it next to, and I'm not talking about the ones that are packed with leaves and food and debris because it hadn't been changed in 19 years. I'm talking about the car that's 30,000 miles since its last filter change needs it again.
But at that point, aren't you just disassembling? Like, okay, so I'm going to sell a cabin air filter for whatever, $70, $80. I got to take it out and put it back in because they might decline. So I'm doing the job twice. So that's going to move that price of that for me to recoup that to a 0.6 instead of a 0.3.
Well, do I?
Just so I can get a picture of it.
Okay. So am I more concerned about that, or am I more concerned about the welfare of my customer and why this is important that you should do it because it's better for you and your vehicle and your health?
Sure. But I can explain that without telling my tech to take that out, right?
And that's what's changing in our industry. Calling them up and explaining it to them is not in alignment with the way people want to be communicated with anymore. And I'll give you an example. A few years ago, AutoVitals had a summit. We brought a bunch of shop owners out, and we had speakers and shop owners teaching each other best practices. And there was a lot of pushback at that time about sending text messages to customers. I says, all right, raise your hand if you were able to reply to an email in the last 20 minutes in this room, and like one person raised their hand. And I said, raise your hand if you were able to reply to a text message, and like 90% of the hands went up. I said, if you're doing it, your customers are doing it. Quit arguing that your customers don't want text messages. So we have to give them the information in the way they want to consume it. And they're looking on their phone and they're swiping pictures. The pictures need to have good markup. It needs to have good text. It needs to have a good explanation. And that's what moves the needle. We can explain it to them all day long, and that's just not the way customers want to be approached anymore. Because, you know, we're just sitting there going, blah, 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 blah. It's like, I need them to see something. I need them to really feel the impact of this visually, the way they consume information.
I would agree with that. I think we're visual buyers, right? Mm-hmm. I've seen a number of Amazon studies where somebody goes and they pull up Amazon, they're looking at products, there's 50 of the same products, they're all within the same range of reviews, but the picture makes the difference on which one they buy. And so I think that correlates and that makes sense. You know, I hear what David's saying too, because, you know, one of the things that I have seen, and we do this in my shop sometimes, where a car comes in, it's in bad condition. And so now that DVI that would have been 30 minutes is now an hour and 20 minutes when it should still – we should be reasonable and rational about how much time we're spending on it, right, to a degree.
I don't understand why a DVI would be an hour and a half just because the car is clapped out. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying my guys have some that they want to get pictures, they want to get videos, they want to get good
documentation. I think he's being slightly hyperbolic, but when you're talking about a free DVI – you want 20 to 30 minute max.
Yes.
The minute you start rolling into 45 minutes to an hour, and we've had some that are 45 minutes. It's 45 minutes. It's because it's like I've got power steering leaks. I've got transmission leaks. I've got engine oil leaks. The cooling system's a mess. Maybe I have to take a panel out. I've got to take pictures of shocks,
picture brakes, of the underside struts. Here it is. Picture of the underside of the car. Vehicle has numerous leaks. Recommend time to investigate. Sure. Right, the DVI is not your test bed. Yeah. I've seen a lot of technicians go, oh, the car's got a coolant leak, and they start taking panels off, they've got pressure gauges out, and they pressurize the system, and they go, needs a water pump, send it up. That's not what the DVI is for.
Well, right? Yeah, we're not taking equipment out there, but I think once you start getting into clapped out and you're digging in, and you're not trying to get overly detailed, but you still want a good, confident write-up. You still want to say several power steering leaks, we need to degrease, we need to put dye in it or whatever, right? Same thing with the cooling system needs to be pressurized. I've got a leak here at the radiator, bare minimum. I got a hose leaking, this, that, and the other. By the time they write all that stuff up, take a good amount of pictures.
All right. Can I make a recommendation on it?
Sure.
Older cars that come in that appear to be less than optimally maintained in their lifetime don't get a free inspection. They get a 2-hour detailed, stem to stern inspection. Paid.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. But somebody comes in, maybe a little detached from this because of the nature of your shop, but 2003 GMC Yukon comes in. Guy loves his Yukon. He's never had it at a shop that does a good DVI or any DVI. They're the normal shakedown. Hey, you need a ball joint, and that's it. Because that's all he's ever been to. Shows up to my shop. We're going to do a full inspection of this vehicle, at least a vehicle health assessment, as you kind of lay it out. And we're the likelihood that I'm going to sell him, hey, this vehicle is now 20 years old. I need to do a much more in-depth assessment of this vehicle. It's going to include all these things. For it to be $200, it's $350. It's like, the guy's going to look at me and go, I just need an oil change. It's like, hold on now. You need upper control arms are loose, lower control arms are loose. The tensioner on the AC system's about to fall apart.
But you started the conversation with this guy loves his GMC, and the guy who truly loves his 03 Tahoe, GMC, whatever they are.
I love my dog. The minute that dog needs a $6,000 surgery, I don't love my dog that much anymore. It's just a dog. Okay. And so I'm gonna going to go.
There's how much are you going to pay the vet to find out you need a $6,000 surgery?
I'm okay, but there's still scale there. That's my point.
Yeah.
He'll come in and we'll have a conversation and go, look, this vehicle needs more than just an oil change here. And because we've done the DVI and we spent 40 or so minutes on it. And yeah, there's going to be a lot of assessments on there, a lot of testing. We scanned the codes because check engine light was on. We hooked up the scanner, and while we're doing the DVI, it's scanning through the modules. And then we take a picture and we need tests. 1, 2, 3, 7 tests plus another $3,000 in repairs. That's the way we typically approach it, but it ends up being a 40-45 minute assessment. Plus, we're going to spend 30, 40, 45 minutes, another hour doing the estimate. Then we got to talk to them on the phone. All I'm pushing back on is a 2-hour assessment. You've got to pay me for me to tell you what's wrong with this car when all you walked in is and asking for was an oil change. Like,
yeah,
that's going to be a non-starter with a lot of customers. Like, they're going to go,
that's okay. That's okay. Look, do I want a lot of customers or do I want the right customers? Do I want the guy who's got the 03 vehicle? And, you know, the average age of a car right now is 12 years.
Yeah, right? 12.7 years to the T right now.
And it just occurred to me, my F-150 that I bought brand new is 13 years old. When did that happen? Right? And so, but when my car goes in a shop, I want to know what it needs. I'm going to keep this vehicle. I'm going to keep it up. Those are the customers that I have to look for. And at the front counter, David, is when these conversations occur. And proper sales training is critical, right? We're not trying to become slimy used car salesmen. We're trying to be consultative advisors. I want to be where I can consult my customer on what they need and ascertain their needs. If the guy shows up and he says, you know what? I just need this beater to keep me on the road for a little while. Okay, well, you know, that's one approach. And it's like, man, I really enjoy this vehicle. It's been so good to me. I really want to know what's going on and what it needs to drive it another 150 or 200,000 miles. That's the customer that's going to be willing to pay for those inspections. So we have a first-time customer inspection. It's a paid inspection, and it's not a hard sell. It's like, this gives us a really good baseline on what's going on with your car, Mr. Jones. We're going to pull the wheels off. We're going to measure the brake pads. We're going to measure the rotors. And we go down this list of value, and people purchase that inspection. So I think a lot of people get hung up on all the inspections need to be free, and they don't. They really don't. And when you break it down, cars come in for maintenance services. If you're doing your job, service advisors, if a car's got 90,000 miles, you're looking up what is required at 90,000 miles. It's going to be maybe a cabin air filter, maybe a tranny service, maybe a coolant flush, an oil change, and an inspection. And it's got a couple hours on the labor line. that's a paid inspection. That's not different from your DVI. So don't get stuck in the trap that I have to do this for free all the time.
That is something I've been considering for a while now, is that maybe I need to, because we're extremely thorough. And, you know, we had a good talk.
You need to scale back your DVI. Imagine that. Who's been telling you that for forever? You need to scale back your DVI.
I've tried to scale back DVI. I've had one I've been running through Shopware, and I've got one I'm running through Autoflow. And the one in Shopware scaled back a little bit to decrease clutter a little, a touch. The thing that I was talking to Cecil about is that balancing of average opportunity versus the balancing of making sure we're getting the right information on the ticket, having it thorough, having the pictures like they're supposed to be, all of those little pieces that have to go into this puzzle are something that I think has to be taken into account, right? And we have to balance that. And so one of the things I've thought about is a paid inspection that takes some of those bigger ones off of the techs and then lighten up the original. You know, our average opportunity is $3,700 a car right now. And so we run a lower close rate, a lower car count, but a higher opportunity. So we're $800 to $1,000 ARO is what we average out at. And finding that balance of how much of that inspection should be a free one versus a paid one. And so that's something that I'm definitely looking into and considering.
It's really the answer to, why do I always have to look at cars for free? Well, you don't. I have a real basic inspection. It's 27 points. Here's the required items. Here's the required pictures. Anything more than that, something else, right? It's leaking. We need to figure out what's leaking. It's not part of the inspection to tell you what's leaking. Something's leaking. It's got a rattle. I hear a rattle. Here's the video. I need time to find noise, vibration, harshness, time, you know, whatever that case may be. So it's really a good way to be fair to the customer and be fair to the team. What would you look at? Your general repair, or you're European? Or what?
I'm general repair. I work on everything. I work on European. We're one of the only shops up here that'll work on European hybrid and EV. So
yeah. So that's a decent ARO. Have you ever broken it down to see what your euro versus domestic? Yeah,
it's consistent across the board. We don't see that much of a change. Euro's a touch higher, but not by that much. You know, it just it changes by time, right? So, for instance, our euro goes up in the summer months because all the folks from Florida come up here in their European cars.
Right.
And then it goes back down in the winter months because it's college students in their European car. So it changes based on that.
And that's a big change because the college students, like, I'm going to drive the thing until I can't anymore. Then I'm going to dial 1-800-DADDY. Your card you gave me is broken. Please call Lucas.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. Happens every day.
Yeah.
Well, Frank, I know you've got another obligation. I really appreciate you being here, and I think that this is a great kickoff to a topic, and I think we need to come back to it and dig further in next time.
Yeah, so the biz map that I was showing you is ready to go live, man. Super exciting, where you could see your neighborhoods around your shop. How many households? What's the income? What's the average house price? How many of your customers live there? What's their spend, and what's your average ARO? Holy smokes, is that exciting. Cool.
And it's so cool. It really is.
I get chills just thinking about it. I'm so excited about that. And I'm going to be doing some very specific videos on that. And Lucas, I'll let you know so you can review them and then decide if you want to share them that way.
For sure. And we'd love to have you back on and talk about that when the time is available to do it. So
my pleasure.
Let's set a time up to do that.
Yep. David, awesome to spend some time with you, sir. Thank you very much. I like the way you tried to challenge me. I hope I didn't push back too hard.
No, you're fine. David's meant to be pushed back against. That's just how it is.
Hey, listen, man, I've been doing this for a long time. I'm almost 100 years old. Okay, I'm 62, just turned 62 last month. I've learned a few things. I love sharing what I've learned. And I don't ever tell somebody something they could do that I haven't tried and proven myself.
Yep. Well, hey, Mike Allen says to tell you hello. I've spoken to him recently. He says he knows you very well. And
I love Mike Allen.
I don't know who would feel worse for it.
Yeah, he's an incredible guy. I love him, his dad, and his whole family. And I'm really proud of the success he's been having lately. He's a great guy. He deserves it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Frank, thank you so much for...
Thank you for listening to the Changing the Industry podcast. If you enjoyed the show, do us a favor and leave us a review on your favorite podcast player. And don't forget to set it to automatically download the latest episode. Our efforts with this podcast, the YouTube channel, and the Facebook group wouldn't be possible without the support of our awesome sponsors. So please take a moment, check them out by clicking on the links in the show notes.